You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Joining me today is my awesome co-host, Abby Ranella, and we are so honored to be talking with Alex Newman. Alex is a Christian homeschool dad who's an award-winning international journalist, among many other things. Alex, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Sure. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. I never like to talk too much about myself, but I can say I'm a journalist, I'm an educator, I'm an author, I do some consulting. I have a weird background. I've been overseas pretty much all my life. We left when I was four. I grew up in Latin America, then we moved to Europe, then I moved to Africa, then back to Europe, and I'm just kind of getting my feet wet now with being, you know, long-term in America, which is, it's great to be back in the land of the free. And I think you really appreciate it in a whole new way when you've been overseas your whole life, in a way that I think your average American who hasn't been too much outside of the country doesn't quite understand. And so it brings me a great joy to be back in the United States. And on the education front, I had a really weird education, you know, secular schools, secular education all my life at kind of ritzy private international schools. Didn't really prepare me in terms of reading the scriptures, in terms of knowing God's word. So that all came later. Praise God, he saved me when I was about 19 or 20 at college, right? I really had not heard much about these important things. And my run-in with home education and trying to get children out of the public schools, that happened some years ago when I finally realized all these different fires we're fighting, you know, these issues we're fighting, that trying to stop the slaughter of unborn babies, trying to stop the destruction of our culture, trying to stop the, you know, the explosion in terms of the size and the scope of government. And, you know, now they've got mandates for everything, just all these different issues. They all have one thing that transcends them all, and that is the only reason things got so out of control is that generations now of children have been dumbed down and indoctrinated in the public schools. And so I thought, well, this is a problem. Let's try to reform the public schools. And, you know, I looked at that and started studying the history of that. In 2014, I was incredibly blessed to be able to work with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld on this book here, which is now very hard to get, unfortunately, unless you go online and get a PDF, which I won't tell anybody if you do that.
And the book is called Crimes of the Educators.
Crimes of the Educators, that's right. And the subtitle is How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. And so Sam, he had written 12 or 13 books on public education, including the history. So as I was working with him, I was reading the books he wrote, and I realized, oh my goodness, you know, the schools aren't broken. They're actually working perfectly. Yeah. They're doing exactly what the people who designed them wanted them to do. And that's when I realized, oh, well, you know, you can't reform it if it's working properly. You just got to get the kids out and maybe start from scratch. So that kind of brings us to now. Last year, I toured the country on the Rescuing Our Children tour, working with Israel Wayne, who I know your viewers know, and Dr. Duke Pesta, who you guys have interviewed, and some other great people, Lieutenant Colonel E. Ray Moore. We put together this special issue of the New American Magazine, basically giving a very concise explanation of what's going on in the schools. So the sexualization, the grooming of the children, the history of the public school system, the dumbing down. I mean, just showing that the academics have fallen off a cliff. Where they're going with this, right? How the UN is now playing a greater and greater role in the education system. And then the last part deals with the solution. And so Israel Wayne played a big role in this. We talked about the need to get your children out, you know, preferably if you can, homeschool them. Yeah. If you can't, find a good Christian school where your children will get a godly education. So I did a speaking tour last year with that. I had the opportunity to travel the country, which was amazing, meet people all over the place concerned about these same issues. And now I'm just doing the best I can to get the word out in confinement due to corona lockdown. So there you go.
Last year, our family discovered Knotgrass History, and we love it.
Knotgrass History helps history learners become history makers. All Knotgrass History curriculum combines narrative lessons, historical novels, and biographies, activities for a variety of learning styles, and most importantly, a Christian worldview.
Knotgrass History is great for all ages. My mom uses it with my sister and me, who are 5 years apart, and we all love it.
To find out if Knotgrass History is right for your family, visit knotgrass.com and download the first 3 units for free.
That's knotgrass.com.
The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is available now to encourage you. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended. Filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. I have been so encouraged and blessed. The one thing that stood out to me about each session I have listened to is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful. Thank you for everyone who made this possible." And another homeschool mom said, "Thank you so much for all the value provided at this price. We are a big family with a super tight budget. My husband was encouraged. The boys listened in too. A relief to find this resource at such an affordable price with so much value." Register today at homegrowngeneration.com for a free preview, over 9 hours of content, or register for lifetime access to the entire conference for just $20. Go to homegrowngeneration.com today.
So, Alex, you kind of touched on the schools are doing exactly what they were designed to do. And that's actually, that's kind of shocking to a lot of people to hear, because we constantly hear the system is broken, the school system is broken. But we completely agree with you. It's not broken. It's actually working exactly how it was intended to. But will you touch a little bit more for parents who haven't heard that or don't understand what the history of the public schools and what were they designed to do, and how and why is that working so well right now?
Yeah, it's a long and unfortunately hidden story. I mean, even a lot of people who have education degrees don't understand where this all came from. So I start the history of public education with a guy that most people don't even think of. His name was Robert Owen, and he was an actual communist. I mean, he was a communist before Karl Marx came along. And so he had this idea that we should, you know, basically the same stuff that Karl Marx advocated later, get rid of private property, get rid of the nuclear family, basically all the things that God has ordained for our good. We're going to dismantle those, and we're so smart, we're going to do a better job than God's plan. So he actually set up this commune in Indiana called New Harmony, and you guys are probably not surprised to learn that it was a total failure. I mean, it took all of 2 years for the thing to collapse and implode in on itself. But instead of realizing that communism was dumb and wouldn't work because it was contrary to everything God had ordained, he, of course, rejected God. He rejected God's word. He was an atheist back when that was really like, whoa, there's those kinds of people. He came up with this idea that the reason why it didn't work was because these children had been brought up in this Christian environment where they were always hearing about God and private property and family. And so if we could just have the government take over education and shape them into good little collectivists, we could, thoroughly reform mankind. Very much like the Soviets thought later, we're going to make a new Soviet man was their concept. They were going to reform humanity, you know, because they rejected all of the fundamental principles that God has outlined in his Bible. We're not fallen human beings. We're just we didn't get the proper state education. That's why things like communist utopias don't work in his thinking. So he actually set up a secret society. It's an incredible story. We know about this because one of the members of his secret society actually defected and blew the whistle on this. His name was Orestes Brownson. He actually came to Christ and exposed the whole thing wide open. He wrote a book about it. And he said, "I knew about the secret society because I was part of it. I was organizing upstate New York, and we had organized a considerable part of the state. And the society had two goals. It was modeled on the Carbonari of Europe, a secret society in Italy. And their goals were to change public opinion in favor of having the government take over schools, and also to elect men to the legislatures who would be in favor of having the government take over the schools." And that was the genesis right there. He actually, Robert Owen wrote some essays talking about these ideas. They eventually made their way back to Prussia. They were obtained by one of the Prussian ambassadors, and the Prussian dictator actually liked this idea. He thought, hey, you know, that'd be cool. We could have our own school system, and we'd shape good model citizens who would support my reign. So he ordered his interior minister to set up a government school system, and this was really the prototype that the statists later used. Horace Mann, for example, the guy who brought government schooling to America, modeled it off the Prussian system, which came out of Robert Owen's system from Indiana. So it all kind of circles back. Horace Mann, who also rejected the inerrancy and the truth of God's word, he was an early humanist, a socialist. He wanted government schools to, as he put it, equalize all men. So he imported this Prussian system to Massachusetts. It was a terrible disaster. Right off the bat, the quackery started coming in, you know, the whole word method of teaching reading, which, you know, it was exposed just a few years later as quackery because kids couldn't learn how to read that way. They imported that in. Horace Mann started teaching at the teachers' colleges that the state had set up phrenology, this crazy quackery of the day where they believed that the size and shape of your skull determined your personality. And I mean, right off the bat, as soon as government took over education, it started teaching absurdities, right? Once you got rid of the competitive market system, the role of the churches and the role of the parents, right away it started going downhill. And then after he was done with Massachusetts, he went around the country like a traveling evangelist, selling the same idea to legislatures all over the United States. And by the early 1900s, many, many states had actually created systems similar to what Massachusetts had implemented. They were starting to bring in compulsory attendance laws where parents were being required to hand their children over to the state for education. And then around the turn of the century is when John Dewey came along, and really he kind of seized control of the architecture that Horace Mann had laid down and just weaponized it. Unprecedented way. So rather than going to Prussia for inspiration, and, you know, Prussia was at least a nominally Christian principality. It wasn't, you know, overtly satanic, Luciferian, anti-God in every sense of the word. But John Dewey, he went to the Soviet Union for his inspiration. Literally, I mean, he went to Soviet Union. He visited the Soviet schools. It was early on in the Soviet Union's history. And he was thrilled with it. He wrote back these articles in the New Republic, which is still around today, talking about how wonderful this Soviet school system was. It's instilling a collectivistic mentality in the children. And so John Dewey basically seized control of this machinery that Horace Mann had laid down. And he was very clear about his objectives. He wanted to use the school system to get children away from God. He rejected God, and we'll talk about his religion in a moment. He wanted to turn America into a socialist country. And he recognized that the incredible education that Americans had, they were highly literate, education really centered around the Bible. And he wanted to get rid of all that so that he could socialize America, move us toward a collectivist society. And he actually succeeded in large measure. So he hooked up with the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers had a charity at that time. It was called the General Education Board. They gave him $3 million to play with, set up an experimental school at the University of Chicago. And they trained up a bunch of kids, couldn't read, couldn't tell right from wrong. And they thought, hey, this will be perfect. Let's do this all over America. So he got a spot at Columbia University, which still to this day is probably the most influential teachers college in America, maybe the world. And from there, he trained the teachers of the teachers. They spread out across America. They took his religious views with him. They took his educational views and his governmental views with them and spread out all across the country. And they really, I mean, you know, as John Dewey himself said in an essay that we reprinted in this book, because it's so crucial, it's called the essay is called The Primary Education Fetish. It was published in 1898. And what he said was, you know, we have this obsession with teaching little children how to read and how to write and how to do math. That's not really what they need. What they actually need is to be properly socialized so they'll be good little collectivists. And he said in there, we can't do this too quickly. We've got to do it slowly, gradually, because if parents and teachers figure out what we're doing, there will be, as he described it, a violent reaction that will jeopardize the success of the project. So they knew right off the bat it was going to have to be slow. A few decades after that, John Dewey went on to co-write and sign the Humanist Manifesto, where he just laid out his religion for all to see. The very first plank, there is no God, right? We believe the universe is self-existing and not created. Direct attack on the first words of scripture. And, you know, the rest is history. Now we're seeing the fruit of that today. When our kids reject God, they reject individual liberty, they reject their own nation, they reject the principles that God has given us in his word about the family, about the importance of private property, about the importance of not lying, not cheating, not stealing. And now we see our society disintegrating. And that's why I say the schools are doing exactly what the people who created them wanted them to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're so deceived in doing that. The kids are, one of the most interesting things is my girls and I often watch the Living Waters videos. I don't know if you've seen those with Ray Comfort and Kurt Cameron and their team. And we watch them on a pretty regular basis, and they talk in there about the moral law. And almost across the board, I mean, I would say 95% or more of the people that they talk to, they say, you know, are you a good person? Yes, I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. Are you going to heaven when you die? Yes, of course I'm going to heaven when I'm dying. You know, most of them say yes, because I'm a good person. And then they ask the question, well, what makes you a good person? And they go through the moral law. They go through, you know, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever looked at a, you know, another person with lust? Have you done all these things? And everyone, of course, answers yes to all of those questions. And then they explain, but you've broken the moral law. But they've all been raised up to think, you know, I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. I'm doing okay in life. I haven't technically murdered anybody. And so I'm good to go. So why do they need God anyway? But because they've been raised up, most of them, in this government school system, to believe that, well, maybe, you know, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not a God, evolution, whatever, you know, whatever. And they have no idea what they believe. And Christian kids today, especially, you know, if they're in a public school, they don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. They can't defend their belief. And so we're throwing these kids into this institution that, like you said, I mean, it from the beginning, they've had a master plan. And it's been so interesting to see the fall of morality. First, you take God out of school, you take the Ten Commandments off the walls, you take prayer out of school, and just little by little, they've plucked it all away. And now we have what we have today. And
that's exactly right, Yvette. Yeah. And, you know, the destruction of Christian education in America was a gradual process. But Robert Owen was very clear that that's what he wanted. Horace Mann was very clear that that's what he wanted. Yep. You know, he rejected the crucial foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. He actually ridiculed people who believed that man was innately depraved. He believed that, you know, mankind is essentially good. And as long as they're not educated in these Christian doctrines, then they're not going to have to worry about those. He actually believed that public education would help us to eliminate 90% of the crimes, is what he said. He wanted the Bible out of the schools. And you know, for a Christian, the idea of education without the Bible is simply ludicrous. I mean, it's like an oxymoron.
Right.
God is so clear about what an education looks like, and it begins with the fear of the Lord. I mean, God says that the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, he tells us in Proverbs. So, you know, when Horace Mann came along and said, we want to get the Bible out, he couldn't be too direct about it. But he said, well, you know, we don't want sectarianism. You know, we've got Calvinists, we've got Congregationalists, we've got Baptists. So why don't we just tone down all the Christian stuff and we'll just give them a secular education? And then churches on Sunday, then you guys can do the religious instruction. And that was a huge mistake, to divorce English and history and science from the words in God's Bible.
That's right.
It was a fundamental mistake that we went off the rails right there, and it's all been downhill from there. You know, that was their plan, and now, you know, now they're so sophisticated about it. You know, the UN has something that they promote in their own handbooks. You guys probably experienced it if you went to public school. I experienced it in private school. It's an incredible psychological tactic. I know they've been doing it since the 60s or so. They call it values clarification. And what they do is they take these situations where it makes it seem like morality and ethics can be subjective. And I remember, like it was yesterday, the one they did to me. I mean, they were sitting in class. They say, all right, guys, so you're shipwrecked and you're all jumping onto the lifeboats, but there's 10 of you on the lifeboats and there's only 9 spots in the life raft, and you're all going to sink and die if you don't choose who you're going to get rid of. And so they give you, you know, characteristics of each one, and you're supposed to think of it in a very, you know, utilitarian terms. Well, this guy's probably not going to be all that useful to us, so let's feed him to the sharks, rather than just thinking, well, you know, what could we possibly do to make sure we don't have to kill anybody? And this has an incredibly profound effect on the children. It's one of many tools that they've developed over decades and really generations of psychological research into these questions for how do you break down a child's understanding of religion. And it begins in kindergarten. You know, billions of years there was, you know, stardust, and then somehow the stardust came alive and turned into a slime, and the slime became a monkey, and there you are, right? And so life is completely meaningless. So it just starts right from the second the government gets their hands on the children, and it goes on for 12 years, and they've got them for 5 days a week for, you know, 10 hours a day. And, mm-hmm. and parents say, well, you know, we'll just talk to them at dinner and you know, and then everything's going to be fine. Sorry, but it's not going to work. In most cases, it's not going to work that way.
No, right. It doesn't. And you know, you as the parent, you're putting your child into these schools under the care and authority of these teachers. And you're telling them, believe what your teacher tells you. And we've talked a lot about this on the podcast and on Homegrown Generation. You know, if your teacher tells you that 2 times 2 is 4, well, of course, you're going to believe that. Just like if they tell you that we were evolved, of course, mm-hmm. you're going to believe. Like, they can't differentiate between what's true and what's not true when you're putting them in that system for 40 hours a week. Of course, they're going to believe what their teacher tells them, because as the parent, you've told your child to believe what their teacher is teaching them.
Right.
And how confusing for these kids to have no idea, well, what is true? What isn't true? Is God real? Is Santa real? Is the Easter Bunny real? I mean, they're all the same in their little world of imagination.
Which I think it's interesting because, I mean, like you said, it wasn't secret. These men were very right. clear on their intent. It's not like these were these secret things. They, when you look at what they wrote, I mean, John Dewey, I think he was very clear on what he believed and what his plan was. And it's interesting. You talked about how, you know, they kind of had this idea of, okay, school happens here and then we'll do church over here. And I think today's parents have bought into that kind of that separation lie, like my job at home are these things. Sunday at church, they'll teach my kid, you know, the Bible, and then I'll send them to school for this thing. And we've separated out the training of our children, which is absolutely not what God's word says to do. It all comes together. We teach our children everything through the lens of the Bible in everything they do. And when That's right. separate it out, we end up, like you said, it was a very slow process. When we teach kids evolution, where basically you're telling them you have no value. You have no value other than what we tell you your value is. And then fast forward, however, I mean, our grandparents were taught evolution. Fast forward a few hundred years, or, you know, a few generations, sorry. And we wonder why abortion is such a big deal. Well, for generations, you've been telling children that they have no value other than what we put on them. Or I think the LGBT, you can be whatever you want, or even what we're going through now, some lives matter than more. Well, these are not biblical principles. These are actually things that I believe came from the very beginning when we start teaching evolution generations ago, you know, and move forward today to where we have school shooting issues. Well, yeah, we've been teaching generations that you have no value other than what we tell you you have value in. So it is a slow process, but it's definitely why we are where we are today. And so, Alex, can you speak a little bit to, you know, everything that's happening in our culture today, just how the history of where education is, how that has brought us to now today?
Yeah, you know, you just hit the nail on the head, Abby. I mean, it's exactly what has happened. And it was a gradual process. You know, at first it was, well, you know, we'll teach them evolution theory. And I teach my kids evolution theory. Yeah. My kids know evolution theory better than most of the people who are teaching evolution to the kids.
Theory.
Exactly. Right. But, you know, in the schools now, they've basically, you know, it's an incredible story. The Supreme Court decisions that formalized all this, you know, it came about after generations of preparing the way in the school system. Mm-hmm. But John Dewey's document, the Humanist Manifesto, is so clear in that it outlines all of this. You know, one of the planks is that we evolved over time through a series of natural processes. Then we've got to get rid of private property and the profit motive. I mean, it was basically a recipe for communism. And then after that had been taught for several generations in the schools, the kids didn't know much about their history anymore. They didn't understand their constitution. So then in 1962 and 1963, the Supreme Court felt bold enough to come in and say, hey, the First Amendment, that actually prohibits Bible and that prohibits prayer in a series of decisions. Absolutely ludicrous, right? Mm-hmm. If the American people had learned history in school, they would have said, wait a minute here. The guys who wrote the First Amendment, when the First Amendment was ratified, most of the states had established churches. I'm pretty sure they didn't intend to ban prayer in school, right? I'm pretty sure they didn't intend to ban Bible in school. In fact, that's an absolutely ludicrous idea. And anybody who knew history would have known that. So at least one of the justices, Justice Potter Stewart, he explained in his dissent, it was brilliant. He said, what's happened here is not actually the realization of a state of neutrality with respect to religion. What we've done here is we have actually established the religion, he called it, of secularism. John Dewey would have said humanism, but it's not even a new religion. It's that same satanic lie that comes right back from the beginning, right?
That's right.
Humanism at its core is man is God. Mm-hmm. Man knows better what to do. Mm-hmm. Man can decide for him or herself yourself what's right and wrong. And what did Satan say in Genesis 3:5, right? Oh, did God really say? I mean, he just doesn't want you to be like God, right? Because then you'll be able to tell good and evil. So same exact lie incorporated as the official religion of the United States in flagrant violation of our Constitution. And so what should we expect would be the consequences of that? Well, exactly what we're seeing, the collapse of the family, right? Well, you know, I mean, if there's no meaning to life, why shouldn't I just go out and have all the fun I can have? And they're being told that, you know, sexual activities are fun, that taking drugs is fun, that being out, going out and joining a gang is fun. So, you know, why are we surprised when our children go out and become little hedonists who are obsessed with pleasure, who don't care about their fellow man, who don't care, more importantly, about God, right? Who don't care about the two most important commands, love God and then love people. Why are we surprised when children don't understand those and act on those when they're taught their entire lives that that's a bunch of baloney? Your purpose in life is to go out and have as much pleasure as you can possibly find with as little suffering as you can possibly find. And then we see the fruit of that, right? It is a collapsing society, massive drug use, the wholesale slaughter of our children, of future generations, racism, violence, gangs, warfare, drug addiction. We are not going to be capable of governing ourselves after another generation of this. Our nation might not even survive another few years at this rate. The one bright spot I see on this horizon, because what we're seeing today is a direct result of what's happened in the public school system. Right. The one bright spot I see out of all this is that this is now finally part of the national conversation. So, President Trump, he spoke at Mount Rushmore for 4th of July at the Independence Day thing. And what he said was, the reason we have this mayhem in our streets is because of what is being taught to our children in public schools. They're being taught to hate their own nation. I would have gone on. They're being taught to hate God. They're being taught to reject God. They're being taught to hate their parents. They're being taught to reject the Bible. But he's exactly right. And then Rush Limbaugh picked up on it. So when you have two of the most influential men in the world now talking about this openly, and this massive exodus coming out of the public school system, that gives me some hope that we might get it back on the right track. But as of right now, we should not be surprised at all to see our society collapsing. And it goes right back to, Israel Wayne, our friend. Mm-hmm. He wrote this phenomenal book that I reviewed. I encourage everybody to get a copy if you haven't had it. I think the title is, Does God Have an Opinion About Education? Mm-hmm. And as I read it, I already knew he did. I already knew what his thoughts were. But as I read it, it was just scripture after scripture after scripture, proving that we actually went wrong when we said Caesar should be educating our children. That was the big mistake. Right. Caesar has an important role, right? God gave him the sword to punish evil and to protect the good. I mean, he's got an important role to play. That does not include the education and the upbringing of our children. That's where we went wrong, and we should not be surprised by what we're seeing today.
Yeah. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged today. Be sure to join us again on Wednesday for the second part of this fantastic interview with Alex Newman. Until then, have a fantastic day.